Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. I welcome you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are glad that we can be here again. We want to hear His word. We want to experience and move it in our hearts, what He has to say to us, to stretch out to it, especially in the last time, what He promised to us. We have some visitors in our midst. We would like to welcome them in a special way. Our brother Justin from South Africa. May the Lord bless you richly in our midst. We have brother Justin here from Kinshasa. May the Lord bless you also in a special way. We didn't mention him yesterday, but today I see you. Brother Forestieri, be welcome. May God bless you richly that you still travel such long distances. Then from Finland, we have Brother Finland. From Finland, we have Brother Michael here. Almost the whole family Paya is here with us from Austria. Brother Peter Paul and Brother Wolfgang with his family. May the Lord bless you in a special way. Then we have our brother and sister who travel all the way from Spain to have fellowship with us. May the Lord bless you also in a very special way. May He bless us all and reward us, each one of us, of what He has taken effort on Himself to be there where two or three are gathered in His name. And we rely on the word. There He is in our midst. And we are gathered here in the name of Jesus. And we are more than two or three from all regions and from our country. Be welcome, all of you. And we wish us God's richest blessing. Then Brother Radovan sent us greetings from the Czech and also from Slovakia, Czech Republic. We want to stand in for one another in prayer. The time in which we arrive now, let us now stand up and lay this service before the Lord. Then Brother Helmut Rus comes and sings with us the songs. Faithful Heavenly Father, to You be the praise and the thanks for the opportunity that we can be here. We ask You, go through our ranks, speak to us through Thy word, confirm Yourself as the same, not just the banner here on the top, that we experience You as the same. You know how we have come here with every desire and longing. You can make it that everything is well pleasing to You. We thank You for Your grace, that You are with us, that we can rely on You. Be praised and glorified in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I moved this morning to sing with us two hymns. Let us do it. After the sermon last night, I believe it is proper for us to sing praises to Him, what we have heard. It became great to me anew. We believed everything, received everything, and it was so easy to believe. It was indescribable for me. And although we don't understand everything, but yet we believe it. And if we believe it, then God will open us the understanding for it. Although I don't understand everything right away. And therefore, let us sing two hymns. Actually, I didn't like to sing at all. But yesterday after the sermon, I felt better. And therefore, let us tune in. Song number one. Song number one. I will sing of my Redeemer. Hymn number one. I will sing of my Redeemer.
Ich will von meinem Jesus singen, von seiner Gnade, lieb und treu, von seinem Bitten, Kreuzes leiden, von seiner Sinn, Kraft, die Macht bleibt.
Amen. Let us sing the second song. Song number two. Hymn number two. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Thank you. Lovely words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. In the book of Acts, there's a place, a scripture that says, when the heathens heard the word, they praised the word. This wonderful word that has come to our ears in this time, we are grateful for it. And may the Lord really give us the grace that we not only sing of this word, but that we are deepened in it, and that we are anchored in it, that we obey this word, and wherever we want to obey, that the Lord may put this willing and into us. We are forgetful and weak. Sometimes we succeed, but the Lord knows our attitude of our heart. And this word has been really put deep into our hearts. We are grateful for everyone and for what we have heard yesterday from the word. For what we have heard about the glory of the Lord. I think it spoke to all of us. How it took its course and how we recognized who left his glory. Who left this glory to become a human being like we are, so that we receive our redemption. This is so wonderful when we think about it, how the plan of salvation of our God so in such a unique and wonderful way, is coming to realization. The people of Israel, a privileged people, that's how we heard it yesterday, that's how the finishing was, that through the whole wanderings through the desert, the presence of the Lord was with them in a visible form, by day in a pillar of cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. What a privilege. And I had to think about it when Brother Frank said in the sermon that in our time the glory of the Lord was also revealed, especially in the ministry of the prophet, in the ministry of Brother Branham. Why? To draw the attention of the people to that what was revealed through the prophet and put upon the lampstand. And this is so wonderful. This is not just something that someone may glory of himself. No, that everything can be restored, that the word becomes true. Whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive the reward of a prophet. And that's what's it all about. That one receives what the prophet has to say. When the time for a prophet has come, then God does something in the church. And we may testify to it. Although we were not present at the time, although we didn't meet him personally, yet we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who set these things forth. And we may say, it's not just about what these witnesses told us, what they experienced, but they led us into the Word. It's so wonderful and glorious to see. We read now the opening word from 2 Chronicles, but yesterday it stood out to me when it said, 40 years they wandered through the desert, and the glory of the Lord was with the people of Israel, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and please forgive me that I say this, but when such things, it really admonishes me, it warns me. It's important to me. We can stay humble. I don't know how you feel, but in 1 Corinthians 10, in the most of them, God was not well pleased. And only two entered the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. And then it says that these things happened for our warning example. They were written down for us. For us. Who we see that the day is approaching. And it really addressed me. It spoke to me, brothers and sisters. Also here at this place, not in my time, but also here were people who witnessed the glory of the Lord. They testified it. A light, a rainbow. Also this we heard yesterday, how the Lord reveals himself. This is up to him. But the question is, where are these people today who realized all this? It really spoke to me, especially in the context that it's about to draw the attention to the Word of God. And I think this is very important for us in this time, that we not just speak of it, that we are in the truth, not just talking about that we have the revealed Word, but we deepen ourselves and delve into it. And as little children, let the things speak to us and are diligent to put them into practice with the help of the Lord. May the Lord give us grace to it. It's not just written for nothing in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, what Paul said in reference to himself and Apollos, that one should learn not to go beyond what is written. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Yes, and here we can recognize that's about the things in the Old Covenant. The one who spoke in the Old Covenant, he revealed himself in the New Testament. Now let us read from 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Also here it's about the glory. Second Chronicles chapter 5, verse 7. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house. It addresses me, it speaks to me. Unto a certain place, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. We read yesterday from Numbers, well, Moses and Aaron went to the tabernacle, and we heard that the Lord speaks over the mercy seat. Verse 8, for the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. Verse 10, there was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt. When we read in verse 7, or we read it already, the ark came to its place, and in the ark was nothing except what Moses wrote down. Praise and thanks. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb. Amen. This is my desire. Nothing but the word of God. 100% sola scriptura. Only the scripture alone. And then it happened. Verse 11. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Then, verse 13, B, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise and thanks. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Amen. There's so much in these verses, many things. One could go into it. For me, it's a great lesson from what we heard yesterday. Not just the glory of the Lord, and then year in, year out, one goes along, and when it's said for the Israelites to enter the promised land, all the years, the glory of the Lord was in the camp of the people of God. And then there were only two who hearkened to what the prophet said, who believed and received and accepted, and then entered the promised land. Brothers and sisters, for me, this is a very special lesson in this time, that the closer we come to the day, the firmer we must hold fast to the word of God, not just to talk about it, and not just to testify to ourselves, we are in the word, we have the word. No, but rather to search whether it is so, because we live in a very serious time, and as Ezra said, not to go beyond what is written. And there one could give a few examples how from the various motives today things are presented where one should ask oneself, where is a scripture for that? To prove what is being said here. Back to the Bible. Alone that helps those who hold fast to the word of the prophet. They received the reward of the prophet. Although the prophet is left behind, Joshua and Caleb, they went in because they kept this in their good heart. Against all circumstances, against all obstacles, they said, we are more than able to conquer the land. If we believe that God left his glory to dwell in our midst, what has he not given to us? Shall we say we have become rich? No, that's far from it. But he has given us everything that we can walk this way which he prepared. Not stopping. Not saying, now we have to wait. For what? To the Lord? For the Lord? I don't know. Perhaps the Lord went already ahead of us and we didn't keep pace. Not to go beyond what is written. And everything what was presented to us on nice knowledges, on pious words, all of that must be proven by this one, by the Bible, and must all be found in this Bible. If not, blessed are we. We want that the glory of the Lord is revealed in our midst. And for this, we have read where the place is, what the content is, who sanctified himself. And then, when the praise was there, when the gratitude was there for what the Lord has done, then, as written in verse 14, 2 Chronicles 5, verse 14, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Praise and thanks. We can stretch out to all these things. We have to learn to believe these things and accept them for us. They are prepared for us. And not look on the circumstances. We are more than able, not of ourselves, by grace, no merit, everything you are, Lord. May the Lord give us grace while we hear his word. Let us stand up once again and pray. Faithful Heavenly Father, to you be the praise and the thanks that you speak to us through thy word. Wherever we open your word, we thank you what you have given us in this time. We thank you for it, that we received the ministries you have given. We thank you that we didn't stop at the ministries, but through these ministries you made us able to go along with you and to reach the goal where you want us to be. We thank you that you are the same. We thank you that you have put the desire for your word into us, to obey your word. You laid it deeply in our hearts. We can only say, we don't want to go beyond what is written, Lord. Praise and thanks be to you. For us it's enough. Whatever you revealed us in your word, with this we want to work with the talents you have given in the church. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you are still the same and that you didn't leave us orphans. We praise you and thank you for your faithfulness and for your grace. Be now with us. Let our hearts be open so that each one receives according to your will, whatever is on his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
We must take God at His word in faith. Faith without the corresponding deed is powerless, useless. Faith must be followed by works. That is why the Lord said, "These signs will follow them that believe." Faith that comes from the Word of God must be followed by what God has promised in His Word. Is that clear? It must follow, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not from a newspaper article, but from the Word of God. And in the Word of God is written what God has promised us. And it is also confirmed that many have experienced it. If we were the first, then we might not know exactly how to do it. But the entire New Testament testifies to what God done among those who believed in Him. It begins with Mary, and there is the beautiful verse, "Blessed are you who believed, for what was promised to you will be fulfilled." You can read it in Luke chapter 1. When we believe, we have accepted God's promise. And then the Spirit comes to make the Word alive. We believe that through the proclamation of the Gospel, what happened and was reported in the Gospels must happen anew. The proclamation of the Gospel cannot be done in words alone. Then we could all stay at home and read the Bible there, and that would be enough. When we come together, it is to highlight these divine things, to bring them close to us, to make them come alive for us, so that we can then experience them. We gather to experience God. Today, it is exactly 4 years since I heard the words, "Gather my people with whom I have made a covenant by sacrifice." We are gathered here in the name of the Lord. And sometimes I am struck by the thought that even as believers, we have our own ideas about a man of God. Look at them all in the Bible. Each one was as God made him. And none of them put on an act. They were all human beings, even though God's word had come to them. But I would like to emphasize one thing. When David said in Psalm 139, "If I make my bed in hell, even there shall thy hand lead me." If we are honest, then we all have made our bed there. But we can be just as honest and say, the Lord God has laid captivity captive, has brought us out, has set us free, and forgiven us by His grace. We do not remain where we have made our bed. That would be terrible. We belong there.
Amen.
We belong where God has determined and where He has prepared things for us. Let us keep this in mind, even when teaching, that we can experience God, that we must experience God. The thought occurred to me, if something is wrong in a household, whether it is a power outage or something needs to be done, there are always experts. And it occurred to me, the Lord is everything. He is Savior. He is Healer. He is Deliverer. When something is not as it should be, we call on Him. He will have time. He will not put us off or postpone it. He will come. Yes, He's already here. If we believe, He's here to help and bless us. Let us begin with 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Here we read the last verses of chapter 6 and then on to chapter 7. Verse 3, 2 Chronicles 6, from verse 40. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. What a wonderful word. Here we have a truly wonderful word. David had in his heart, and he was a man after God's own heart. He had one desire, to build a house for the Lord. He said, it is not right for me to dwell in a house made of cedar, and the Ark of the Covenant remains in a tent. Then the Lord said to him, the desire that you have is good, but you are a man of war. You shall not build the temple, but your son shall do it. Now the temple was built, but David had the plans, had all the materials, had provided for everything, and now the temple was being built. And then came the prayer that God would be present and meet his people there, where he had placed his name, there where the covenant people gathered before his face, the Lord would hear from heaven. And that is what he did. The Lord wanted to answer from heaven. That is what he did. I want us to understand today that the Lord always keeps his word. The heavens will fall before his word fails, as the song goes. It was not Solomon's doing, nor David's. God had spoken, and he stood by what he had said, regardless of whether anyone always walked in his ways or not. God does not change his plan. God stands by his word to this day. He watches over it to fulfill it. Here it speaks of the glory of the Lord, of the fire of God that came down to fill the temple. We speak of the glory of the Lord in these days. And if you have observed it, this morning we read that the cloud was over the tabernacle, but that Moses was in the tabernacle, and that the Lord spoke to him there. The cloud of glory was over the tabernacle. The Lord was in the tabernacle to speak to Moses. The glory was over the streets of Bethlehem, but the Lord was in the manger. He can do what he wants, reveal himself as he pleases. We cannot classify God with our thoughts. He reveals himself in a way that is beyond our understanding. The people of Israel were on Mount Sinai, and so was the fire, and the voice of God came from heaven. Have you read it? You can read it in Nehemiah, where it is written clearly and distinctly that the Lord came down in fire upon the mountain, but that the voice came from heaven. Nehemiah chapter 9, second part of verse 5, Nehemiah 9. And bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, and the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worshippeth thee.
Here
I will find the other passage I was actually looking for. Who among you knows it by heart? We have a Bible study where the Lord came down with or in the fire and yet spoke from heaven. Brother Rus will find it in a moment, and then I will read it. Now I would like to go to the New Testament, to the Epistle to the Corinthians. In the New Testament, I would like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Everything is predestined by God. Christ was predestined before the foundation of the world to die as the Lamb of God. We were predestined before the foundation of the world to become believers and be saved. Everything that has to do with God is not temporal, but eternal. And the plan of salvation of our God has been established from eternity. Here it is written that we are to be glorified. To this we have been predestined, not just to become believers, not just to walk piously through this world, but on the glorious day that the Lord has made, which is already fixed, when he will come again to transform us into his image, where the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Now death is defeated, but then it will be swallowed up. And we rejoice in this. That's why it says in Revelation, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, and God will wipe away the tears from our eyes. Here it speaks of the perfect. It would be presumptuous for a human being to say, I am perfect. One would not know how to answer that. One would have to leave him standing, suspecting that he does not know what he is saying. That is the one side of the coin, namely the human side. But when God says, be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect, then we must consider the other side, namely the divine, and gratefully acknowledge that God has accomplished something whole in us, not something half-baked, but something whole he has accomplished in us, that he has created something perfect in us. Do you all believe that? It is not you and I who come here and think we are something, but we will not let the enemy dispute what God has made us. I think I already said this yesterday evening. We are not what sin and many things have made us, but what God has made us. It goes even further. In verse 8, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, it says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Who was crucified? Who? I ask you, who? I just read it. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Are you thinking of the psalm now? The very powerful psalm, probably 24. Who is the King of glory? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. For us, Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. But we also see him in his humiliation, despised, mocked. He goes his way. This too was written and had to be fulfilled. Here it continues. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. These days we speak of the supernatural revelation of God, of the light, of the cloud, of the glory, and I would like to read a few more passages on this subject. One more from 2 Corinthians. From 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, from verse 6. Here it says, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. We are so grateful to God for all these words of the Holy Scripture. We have already read in the Old Testament, there was glory in the days of Moses, glory in different times. The prophets have already seen this glory of God. In the New Testament, this glory is surpassed. Now let us make a comparison to see whether we are lagging behind a little, whether we have given too much room to unbelief, whether we have not yet fully realized the rights God has given us, whether we repeatedly question the redemption that has been granted to us and the forgiveness we have received, and whether we are going round in circles. Let us not allow ourselves to be held back any longer by the accuser of the brethren. Let us look to the Lord, who bled to death on the cross, who redeemed us and called us by name. He who made an everlasting covenant with us and said, I will never again remember your sins. An eternal reconciliation, an atonement has taken place, a great day of reconciliation. Let us read from 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here it is written in verse 16. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. Who only has immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. God dwells in a light to which no one has access, no one can enter. Men of God have seen this glory, but they were blinded by its splendor. They could not see God the Lord in this light. God is hidden in this light, but he has come forth and revealed himself so that we may see him. This is basically what we have taken from Luke 2 from the very beginning. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The Lord had stepped out of the light, but the light still came down. And now I will show you the connection, the union of the human and the divine realms. God had to accomplish both. We read about this in Matthew chapter 3, a passage very familiar to all of us. Matthew chapter 3. For we do not only consider what happened to the Lord, we must understand what it means for us. What depends on it? What good would it do me if I were to preach for hours until midnight about how God revealed himself, about the light, the splendor, the glory, and we still did not know how we fit into this plan, what our position is, then I would have preached in vain. I would have illuminated only one side. Matthew chapter 3. Here it is depicted figuratively how the reconciliation, the connection between heaven and earth took place according to the words of the psalm, righteousness and peace shall kiss each other. And what is the next word? I will read it to you in a moment. But first here, in Matthew chapter 3, here we read from verse 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What is this about? The body in which Jesus walked here on earth was born into this world, although begotten by the Spirit, just as every other body is born, wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. He was made in the likeness of men. The Spirit had to come upon this body in order to claim the divine right to this body, so that this body could be transfigured back into the spiritual body, in order to give us, who are in a physical body, the same opportunity, because we have become sons and daughters of God, to be transformed from this physical body into a spiritual body. I will show you from two scriptures that the Lord has thought of us, and that makes me exceedingly glad. The first is Psalm 85, the word I was just about to quote. Psalm 85, verses 10 to 12. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. A connection had to be made from heaven. And therefore, God has made himself an earthly body according to the scripture, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Behold, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. Here the will of God was to be done. Only with one? No. Through the one, with and for all. In the Son of God, God's well-pleasing rests on all the sons and daughters of God. What happened for all of us. I will read to you from Psalm 2, just so that you know that it is actually written there. Psalm 2, from verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And now it comes. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. What did our Lord say in the Great Commission? Go into all the world. First it says, go to Jerusalem, then to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then go into all the world to show you that this is connected with sonship. I will read from Psalm 2, verses 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. What a powerful prophecy. Why is it written, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Not fear of punishment. There is a big difference between fear and reverence. And I'm grateful to God for the precision of our language. In some languages, there's only one word for this. Reverence for the Almighty God, for His Word, and for all that He has done and is still doing. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. We notice that this is not about fear of punishment, but about holy reverence. So, in Matthew 3, we are literally and verbatim shown that God, who as Father is Spirit, has connected Himself with His personal revelation in the flesh in order to connect and unite us who are in the flesh with Himself in Jesus Christ to bring us into the family of God and also to make us sons and daughters of God. This word is not meant to be argued about, but to recognize its significance in the plan of salvation. Jesus was and is Emmanuel, but here it is depicted figuratively what actually happened. The Spirit came in the form of a dove, not the dove in the form of the Spirit, but the Spirit formed itself into the form of a dove. Read Genesis 8 from verse 8, and you will understand the context. The flood came upon the earth. Let me read it. It will be better. Then we will see why God used these biblical examples to show us something, not just to have it written down, but to let us know what it is all about. Genesis chapter 8, from verse 8. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, and took her, and pulled her in unto him, into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening. Hallelujah. And the dove came into him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. Beloved, these few verses tell us more than we can bear to hear today. In Genesis 6 it is written that God was angry and regretted having created human beings, because their ways and deeds were evil, and they went their own ways. He said in his anger, I regret that I have made man. Then came the flood, and now the dove was sent out. The anger had subsided. The punishment had come. The judgment had been carried out. The wrath of God was appeased. The dove then returned a second time and brought back a fresh olive leaf to show that the wrath is past. The flood is no more. Now it can begin anew. When the Spirit of God came down here, the Lord wanted to tell us, my wrath is subsiding. My judgment is being carried out. And the moment is coming when the same Spirit will come upon you, the redeemed. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. God used images and examples to show us certain things. But let us read on, namely in Matthew chapter 17, the well-known passage we have already read. Here some, namely all those who were present, were veiled in the cloud of glory. So it was not just one, namely the Son of God, but those from the Old Testament and those from the New Testament who were present there. Matthew chapter 17 from verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, It is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Up to here, this cloud of glory overshadowed all who were there. And at the end it says, Hear ye him. Not to a man, but to him who speaks to us. Who walked among the seven golden candlesticks? And whoever reads the description here thinks of Revelation chapter 1, where we are given the same description. His countenance shone like the sun, and his garment became as white as the light. I am not exaggerating when I say, here, in his physical body, he experienced the glorification, the transfiguration, as we will experience it at the moment of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We will be as he is, for we will see him as he is. Here it speaks of the cloud, of the glory, of the transfiguration. When God is present, there are not only words, there must also be an effect. And it comes when we believe and when we trust and do not just hear and say, well, it happened then, but believe that it is happening to us. We read on about the cloud and then also about the glory and the light from the book of Acts. We read in chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Not just any cloud, but the cloud of glory. The supernatural cloud, the light in which he was before. He said, I come from God and I return to God. He returned to the light. Let us read Acts chapter 9, verse 3. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What was it? The Lord, whom we know to be the high priest, sitting at the right hand of the majesty of God, the same Lord, who is the advocate and mediator, the same who is king, priest, and prophet, the same is not bound by space and time. He can reveal himself as he wills, when he wills, and where he wills. And surely to everyone who is not offended by this, Saul, on the road to Damascus, surrounded by a bright light, and the question is, who art thou, Lord? And the answer, I am Jesus. In the same light in which he was before, in the same glory, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The form of his revelation may change, but he remains the same forever. He may be priest, prophet, king, and everything, but he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Acts 22 describes this in a little more detail. Acts 22. Here it is, verse 6. Yes, sir. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth. This was not included in the first account. The same Jesus who walked in Galilee, who was in Nazareth, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Also this is possible, that the voice sounds very loud, and only the one who was addressed hears it. We can all be sitting together, hundreds of us, listening to the same sermon, the same preaching. What matters is whether the Lord succeeds in addressing you, in speaking to you personally, and knowing this is the hour that the Lord has prepared to speak to us. Stephen saw the same Jesus as the Son of Man at the right hand of the glory of God. We read about this in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Why does it say Son of Man here? Do you see how important it is to know where these terms belong? Son of God, Savior, Redeemer, Son of Man, Prophet, Prophetic Ministry, Son of David, King, Ruler, Sovereign. Everything has its place. Here the reign has not yet begun. Here he cannot yet be king and sit on the throne. Here he must be at the right hand of the glory of God. It says literally, I looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. What did Stephen see? Earlier we read, no one can see God, and no one has ever seen God, for God is spirit, and dwells in a light which no man can approach unto. What did he see? He saw the glory of God, in which God is veiled in, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, as the Son of Man. Not as king, not as judge, but as the Son of Man at the right hand. And you know, when we go to Revelation chapter 1, John writes, and I saw seven golden candlesticks, and one who walked among them, like unto the Son of Man. The term Son of Man does not appear once from Romans 1 verse 1 up to Jude, the last verse, not once. However, it appears again in Revelation, because that is the prophetic section that is being dealt with there. In the Gospel of Matthew alone, the term Son of Man appears at least 26 times. Look up how many times the term Son of God appear there. Look it up. Please look very carefully. Look well. And when you have read all 28 chapters, then you can tell me. Again and again, the Lord referred to himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. The Son of Man will come again, always Son of Man, Son of Man. Because the people at that time did not recognize him for what he is. And he had to fulfill his task, as Moses said, and be a prophet. We continue reading from Matthew chapter 24, and then immediately from chapter 25, and you will see the glory of the Lord coming again, and the Lord of glory coming in it. Matthew chapter 24 from verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So here it speaks about the Son of Man who will come with great power and glory in the clouds of heaven. Let us read Matthew 25, verse 31. Here it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. We will talk more about these topics because they are part of the coming of Christ. And it is so important that we can classify the different comings. Otherwise, we will confuse things. Bible prophecy must be rendered through the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we may expect what is supposed to happen at the third coming to happen at the second coming and be surprised when it does not happen. But let us continue reading from Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Also a word that is well known to all of us. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. We could also read the passages from the Old Testament on this subject, and we will do so later. Here we are concerned with a cloud of glory. The Lord ascended into heaven on the cloud and was lifted up, and He will come again in the same manner as He ascended into heaven. Let us read from Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Here too, it is about Him being seen on the cloud. We talked about the glory that became visible, about the cloud, about the pillar of fire. We talked about the various things that were testified to us in different contexts, whether by Moses, Ezekiel, Solomon, or the prophets, wherever it may be. These were various supernatural revelations of God. Moses saw a fire in a thorn bush. Why a thorn bush? In the curse that God pronounced in Genesis 3, it says, thorns and thistles shall the ground bring forth. God wanted to indicate here through the thorn bush, the curse will be taken away. The harm will be made well. Oh, if only we could take all these shadows, all these examples, and explain them in the right way. Let us continue. Revelation chapter 21. We are very close to our goal. Revelation chapter 21. Another well-known word. The holy city comes down from heaven. Here in verse 23 it is written, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Did everyone read that? The glory of God comes to the fore again. And who is the source of this light, this glory of God? I will read it again. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. What a wonderful word. Jesus Christ is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. No one would know what God looks like, who God is, what God wants, if Jesus Christ had not been manifested in the flesh. Many have spoken of God. Many have prophesied. But there was only one in whom they were fulfilled. One who could say, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." So, the glory of God gives the light, but the Lamb is the radiance. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. We see who Jesus is. In Matthew 16, the Lord asked, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And the answers are even more varied today than they were then. Some said John the Baptist, Jeremiah, and somehow Elijah, one of the prophets. And then he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And then came the powerful answer from the mouth of Peter. And the Lord said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." We read from Revelation 22, verse 5, to confirm this once again. Revelation 22, verse 5, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light."
Huh.
Who will now give light? In chapter 21, verse 23, "And the Lamb is the light." And here it says, "They need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light." Hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful. Everything comes together again at the end. It came from God and returns to God, so that God may be all in all and in all for all eternity. A human being cannot explain this. How difficult do you think it was to formulate this and put it into words? And I realize how difficult it is to express this. I will read you the first verses of chapter 22, and then you will see how the preparation takes place. Revelation 22, verse 1 says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Here is one throne, but two terms remain, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. What did our Lord say? That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Why? Because the Father has revealed Himself in the Son. Anyone who seeks God anywhere other than in the Son will never have Him as their Father. Only those who have recognized the Son of God will have God as their Father, because the Father has revealed Himself in the Son. I continue reading, verse 2. And on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And now it comes. And His servants, whose servants? And His servants shall serve Him. Before that it says about the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. What did Jesus say in Revelation chapter 3? To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. The throne in heaven is the throne of the Father. In the Gospel of Matthew, we then read, and he will sit on the throne of his glory. This is the throne of David, when he will begin his reign over the whole world. But I read on, because there is more beauty to come. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Whose face, if there are two? Pardon? And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Here we see that the name of the Father is also the name of the Son, and his name will be written on their foreheads. Beloved, if we had read this to a professor of theology, he would have fled. He would no longer be here unless God had overwhelmed him. And we want people like that in our meetings, people who are overwhelmed by God. Now, the last scripture from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 4, and here it is verse 5. Isaiah, chapter 4, verse 5. Here it is written, when the Lord, I read from verse 4, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. So it will be when the Lord finishes His work. Do you see how the Old and New Testament agree? The glory of the Lord will be a defense over all. The Lord is light. The Lord is protection. He has become our everything. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God has given us light, not a light, the light, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. John bore witness of the light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. It came into the world to enlighten all who come to Him. And this fits with the words from the Gospel of John, which our Lord proclaimed aloud. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let us be grateful that the Lord has revealed Himself in diversity. Here someone saw Him as the Son of Man. Here someone saw Him in the bright light. However He was seen, He was seen in a specific role. He must also be high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And yet He remains Lord. He is Savior, and yet He is King, even if He has not yet began His reign. Everything is in order, everything in its time, and I rejoice that the Lord has given us light and clarity about all the connections in the Holy Scripture through the prophetic revelation of His Word in these days. I do not know if there has ever been a time on earth when God's counsel has been revealed as deeply as in our time. Let us thank God for what He has done and experience what others have experienced, so that we don't think to ourselves, huh, they had it good, they saw, they heard. Believe the testimony that has been left to us in the Word of God, and count on the Lord to reveal Himself to you. But do not tell Him how, for He will not respond to that. Just say to Him, Lord, reveal Yourself to me. That is enough. And believe that He will do it. Leave the rest to Him. He knows how He will do it. There is no need to tell Him. To His holy name be praise and honor, glory and worship, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand and sing, "We'll Give the Glory to Jesus." We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of His love, and tell of His love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of His wonderful love. We bow our heads. If there are some here who still struggle to believe, but have a desire in their hearts to believe,
dass sie glauben möchten, ihr könnt
You can experience it now. Put your trust completely in the Lord, and He will reveal Himself to you. He made the promise, a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. The Lord walked with the disciples of Emmaus in a changed form. They did not recognize him and asked, "Are you the only stranger who does not know what has happened here in these days?" He can reveal himself as he wishes. After the resurrection, Mary thought he was the gardener. He can reveal and make himself known in many ways. But one thing I say to you, every time we recognize him by his voice, and his voice is his word. If anyone speaks of fire and speaks words that are not God's, let such a person go. The Lord will always agree with his word. He will speak the same language, always say the same thing, and remain the same forever. Heavenly Father, together we come before your holy face. We see you in a variety of revelations, and yet we see you as one God, as the one who created everything in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. You are Creator, Sustainer, Judge, Savior, Redeemer. You are all in all. We thank you for this. We especially thank you for leaving behind your majesty and glory, because you desired to take us into your glory, to make us eternal, yes, to give us eternal life by grace, to make us sons and daughters of God. Let us believe all this from our hearts and see it from the perspective of the plan of salvation, O God. Let us not ponder this with our minds, faithful Lord, but believe as the scripture says. We thank you that we can believe what is testified to us in the Old and New Testament. In the end, everything will merge in you, the Almighty God, and we will be with you forever. You will dwell among us and be with us, you our God, and we your people. Faithful Lord, we thank you for this day and ask you, may your word fall deep within us. May such a consecration and devotion, may we become a whole sacrifice on your altar and say from our hearts, your will be done in my life. Here I am. Take me as I am, faithful Lord, that we may not only say this, but mean it, O Lord, that you may grant us the ability to accomplish. Once again we thank you for your precious and holy word. We thank you that you have also appeared in our generation in the light, in the same light in which you appeared to a Paul, you appeared to Brother Branham and made him also a chosen instrument for the elect. I thank you for this. Beloved Lord, accept us all. Help us to overcome our unbelief, O Lord, that we may be gathered together in the faith in you, under the sound of your word, so that you can work and confirm. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.